Hey guys, welcome back to Big Mood. Look at who we have here today. Woo! Beautiful, luxurious, amazingly elegant, bomb ass looking Nikki Blades.
What? I put in hair for you guys today. I wanted to make sure our
Dang. Looked
good. You yeah. I wanted to make sure our extensions. Shoulder looking good. Yeah, I gave you all them Yay. Inches.
She gave us a lot of inches.
All them inches, and y'all didn't even ask for it yet. Thanks
yeah.
for having me.
No, oh my God, I'm so happy you're here. Because, you know, we've had you on JK News, but now we get to have you all
to ourselves.
We get
to have you all to ourselves.
I was waiting.
Without yeah. the stupid boys. You're always on a show with a bunch of stupid boys.
Oh, my God.
A lot
y'all.
Of your life. Like, a lot of your aspects of life.
I don't think I've ever been on an all-female panel.
We need
of
to come on here
anything.
More often.
Yeah. Love to have you.
I've hey. Never been around this much estrogen before. Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
Happy.
Is it okay? I was like, is it more scary? Because we had some guests come on that were not used to being around a lot of girls, and they were very nervous coming into like a set with a group of girls.
That's
they were
how
like,
I felt.
Is it gonna yeah. be awkward?
Were yeah. they male or female?
They were female.
Female, yeah.
I get the intimidate, like it is intimidating, especially we've all hung out before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In different settings around a bunch of other dudes. Yeah. so we've already had the
it's
ice.
Different, yeah.
It's very different. And True. I could see how it could be intimidating. I mean, we've talked about it mm-hmm. when it comes to just like looks and being around other women
oh, yeah.
and feeling secure. But since I've already been around you guys, I know. I was like, oh, I can actually like get dressed, look
vibe.
Cute.
Yeah.
And vibe and not feel like, oh, they're going to be like, this bitch really yeah. showed up. I was like, yes.
Who
I,
does she think she I was is like, with all that hair?
Yes. I was like, first off.
With all those inches, I lost all of my inches and you're going to bring them to me?
I was like, we can borrow it. I will share my hair with you. It can come off.
That's a yeah, true
that's
friend.
That's so great. Mm-hmm.
It actually probably matches your hair more than mine.
I was going to say, it's like a...
Ombre.
No, it's more blonde. Mine's
really
like
good,
way pale.
My hairstylist is going to be pissed. She's like, this bitch wore the wrong hair.
It looks great.
Thank you.
I feel like
yeah.
I don't know good. A lot about hair, but it looks really great.
Thank you.
You look pleasing to my eyes.
Every yeah. time she's on news, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you're just so
Tiff
pretty to look
crush.
At.
You got it.
You
and then also the
no
stuff that comes
you
out of your mouth and like the stuff that's in your brain, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful on the inside too. Jeez.
I love sitting next to Tiff. It's like, oh no, keep, don't. Compliment me any
don't
more.
Stop.
Oh my
stop.
Goodness, you care about what comes out of my mouth and not what goes in it? Yes. Jeez.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. You like that segue?
That
I
goes,
do that.
What goes in your mouth on
I
a normal basis, Nikki
food.
Blades?
Lots of
yeah.
food.
I know. You were talking about like your dream growing up, like her dream job was to be a food critic.
Yeah.
Oh, see, shit.
You're not That's, far from it.
I'm yeah. not far.
You could totally do it right now.
Working on it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite food? Like type of food like from a food critic I hate that question because it's like
yeah.
such a
yeah.
basic like what's your favorite color what's your favorite food
my favorite color is blue
I love blue
but like as someone that wants to be a food critic mm-hmm. I'm assuming you've tasted a lot of food
I really like seafood so all different types of seafood and Ooh, I think yummy. That's the base because that's the one aspect that is consistent but always very different depending on what culture you're in.
True.
And I like pasta but I don't know as much about it.
Mm.
By default, Japanese. All day.
Hell yeah.
Sushi. Every type. I want it raw. I want it alive. I want Hell like yeah. any way I can get it. I yeah. want it with Japanese.
Okay, we can hang out.
Yeah. We're gonna eat together. Yeah. I wanna be fish.
I love
Nikki
sushi.
Nikki loves fish.
Oh yeah.
Both
yeah.
Nikki's
love vegetarian.
Over here.
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
I've been thinking.
What's holding you back? Come to the dark side. We got fish here.
I feel like I don't have good quality fish around me.
In think, LA, it's too hard,
wait,
I think.
Are you in the Bay Area?
I'm okay.
More inland.
More inland, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I would yeah. be lying if I said I was in the Bay. I'm technically not in the Bay. Mm. And if you're from the Bay, you know the difference. You have to like specify it. You have to specify it. I'm not in the Bay. I'm technically, what's the Central Valley?
Okay.
And then even in the Bay Area, like fish is still scarce as far as getting good quality of fish and I need to learn how to
I'm
cook
just like
it.
They got a good aquarium so they probably have good fish.
Monterey does Monterey which is that Bay? Is that Bay?
Monterey Bay? Aquarium.
I mean, the bay's in the name.
Yeah.
The bay's in the name. They got good seafood, but I'm more of like, I get the oysters and the clams. Oysters. Love oysters.
Nice. What's your favorite kind of oyster?
Oh my God, Nikki. Are you trying to take her on a date?
I was like,
you see how I get around her?
I was like, I love oysters. I tried, what are the Kumamoto's, the smaller ones? Yeah, mm-hmm. I really like those. But if I get a big, juicy, a big old, like, you know, I'm named big old, I don't even know the name of them, but the ones that you, when you eat it, on the grill, that's the
on
best.
On the grill.
Yeah,
I've never tried that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for those of you that don't know Nikki, she is a previous model, or do you still model? That's your
I should.
That's part of your resume, modeling.
I should.
But more importantly, though, you're a radio show host, mm-hmm. a morning talk show host.
Yes.
And I'm actually curious about that career because it seems to be like a really male-dominated industry. So mm-hmm. how did you, what was your experience in that?
Well, I came in already having a social media presence, the modeling background. I had done Wild and Out and a couple other projects. So already getting into what people would consider on the lower side of media. They consider radio on the lower side as far as entertainment goes. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people start in radio and then work their way up. I kind of was I'll go down. But that's how a lot of people see it.
You're like a big fish in a small pond there.
I wouldn't say it that way because there are so many professionals in that industry. And when it comes to that field, I was nowhere near a big fish. It was more of the wrong fish in the wrong tank. Mm. That's what it felt like. It was almost like I was like a fighter fish in a tank full of goldfish.
Still on seafood.
Yeah. Sorry, Nemo. But it just felt awkward initially. And it wasn't more of being a woman in that industry. It was more of being younger and then coming from a different industry.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of women that are in radio, mm-hmm. and then there's a lot of older men. Mm-hmm. People work very hard to get into the position that I fell into. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, I can't take that for granted. I can't at all say I was a big fish and I came down. I earned my spot, but I got fast-tracked because of the other work that I've done. Mm-hmm. And the men are, it's mainly an age thing. I think the age was more of a problem than gender.
I relate to that for sure. Before YouTube, I was in the hospital industry, and in my department, it was predominantly ran by women, but they were all way older than me.
Yeah.
And there was this political thing that was really weird where it's you don't know anything. I don't know. It's just zero respect. So I get it.
I got in trouble for dress code working in radio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What?
It's very traditional.
I didn't know because I worked at an urban hip hop station or a rhythmic station.
Yeah.
And I worked the morning shift. So I'm like, okay, well, if I got to wake up and I'm pretty much coming to my workout clothes and it's just me and my other host, Lucas, which I love, by the way. Mm-hmm. Why did it matter? But the women in sales didn't like my attire. And then there would be a lot of, there was a lot of other comments and they were significantly older and just the area. Did it make sense for what I was wearing? Of course not. But I had such a different mindset as far as everybody's confidence levels being different and realizing that, okay, I guess there's a dress code, but I still didn't quite understand it.
Yeah.
My co-host was great. The men in that industry were cool. It's more of the guests that were.
Oh.
You know, there was a lot of rappers, there's a lot of singers, and everybody turns the corner when they're coming into the studio and then they're like, "Oh, I wasn't expecting this on today's media tour." And they kind of don't know how to act until you throw out the cool card. And then they're like, "Oh, she's not interested. She doesn't want me at all. Damn. Wow. Okay, I'll stop now." But for the most
part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it because they're just used to it? Most
of the people, like I said, it's an age thing. So most of the people early morning shifts are a lot older. Mm. And think about the people that were popping back in the day. These are jobs that you keep for a lifetime. A lot of your favorite morning show people have been there most of your life. So you've grew up with them. Mm-hmm. And they're so amazing at their jobs. When you see a new face on a media run, you're like, "What?" I wore no makeup and started wearing hoodies and it still didn't stop.
Dang. Wow.
She just can't hide that.
It is a compliment. I will take all of them till they don't come no more.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
No,
I kind of get the age thing too, even in YouTube, because I feel like YouTube years go by so much faster. They're like dog years where the OG YouTubers, we started 13 years ago and the landscape changed so much that I don't understand the new generation.
Now it's the opposite. Now it's the newer people being like, "Oh, you're too old."
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what I'm saying. I am the older where it's like, "Wait, is that how I'm supposed to dress? Wait, that's how long I'm supposed to do my content?"
You think you're old until you're around older people.
until around younger people now.
No, you think, like, when you're around younger people, of course we feel older.
Yeah.
But then when you're around older people, they'll look at you and they're like, you're delusional. Don't think that. I'm reminded so quickly that I was like, oh, I may be like 31, dang, but I'm young as shit.
I got to join your industry then.
Yeah. You'll come in.
We feel ancient already.
I think I'm young until I meet who's relevant. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm so old.
Yeah. It's like, to me, that's so crazy. On the other podcast, because talking about YouTube and the guys have been in, you guys have all been in the YouTube space for a long time. For me, I haven't been in that world. So when I come around certain people that are older than me that like are terrified of discussing their age, worrying that they're going to like lose viewers or people liking them or followers or something. Yeah. I think that it's terrible because being in between, like, 31 is lit. I would not go back to 21. Ooh, 31 is amazing.
People think we're making it up. And I thought, I will admit, when I was 21, I thought all the 30-year-olds were making it up. Yeah. I was like, you're just bitch, you're saying that because you're old and you want to feel better about yourself. True. But it's true.
I feel like I look better. I feel better.
You're more confident.
Oh, yeah. God.
You know yourself
me 10 years ago. I look whack as fuck. I look like a dork.
You could go to a bar and order whatever fancy drink you want. Yeah,
you got the experience.
You don't have to wait for somebody else to buy you a drink. I think that's like when you start going out, you're realizing like how much you don't need other people. Mm. And that can come like in different ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's that independence. I remember being terrified at 27.
Yeah.
27 was a scary year. 27, 28. Because that's when it started to feel like, what am I doing with my life? Mm. And then after 30, it started coming together more than I realized. And then this last year was the biggest reality check ever. And I think everybody had to experience it, no matter how old you were.
Because
if you don't get your shit together now, you are going to be left. So 31 was a great year, transition year. I love it.
No, that's great. And then also, because you had mentioned before that you also got out of a relationship this year too, right? Or was it last year?
Yeah.
Technically? Yeah. The whole year? Time goes by so fast. I can't even keep up.
Yeah.
But do you feel like that was a positive experience for you? Like, because usually a lot of breakups or changes in your own personal life, in the moment you can see it as like, oh no, why did this happen, or whatever it is, especially if you didn't call for it. And then how have you experienced now post
relationship?
I see you thriving, girl.
Thank you. Well, the relationship part I really kept on the down low. I didn't really, that's also a major part of the issue in the relationship, because discussing my relationship was something that I didn't really want to do, because I felt like that person isn't in this world, and whether it's good or whether it's bad, there's always repercussions to talking about your relationship on a public forum.
Definitely.
So since we broke up, it's been better in the sense of not the guilt associated with why don't I do this or why don't I post that. And I know my faults in the relationship, and there became a point to where you have to look in the mirror and acknowledge where you can't give somebody something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest takeaway, is being able to own what I cannot offer or what I don't even want to try and offer.
Right.
And if I was to go down like the relationship road or like that particular road again, the conversation would be completely different. First off, career-wise, my priorities are different. Yeah. I'm not as... We were fighting over what I think is stupid is the memes that he was posting. And going and following people that I know that you've never met, and like stalking other girls' pages and feeling as
though... So you're in this business, but you felt like that affected your view on him?
Because
I feel like for me, Joe was my ex. I feel like I would not give a shit. Like, because I'm like, oh, I get it. It's just all a game. This whole social media thing's a game. So it's like seeing who he follows or whatever, this or that. Like, it means less to me now than it did before I came to the YouTube space when I was just a regular person. That would have really helped
differently if it was flipped.
The person I was with is regular.
Yeah.
And he would do certain things to grab other people's attention, and because he would do the same thing to me.
So it's not worthless to him.
So that's how he got you.
Right. So he was, there was weight in his actions. So it's not just
that,
like.
That does make more sense.
Yeah.
So he would purposely go and follow certain people, or we had an issue with a particular person. And next thing you know, you could piece together, because his behavior was so repetitive that I was like, okay, you just followed someone new.
It's a pattern.
Okay, you just posted something real suspect. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just go looked at this girl's page. She posted the same thing. Oh, next thing you know, that's who you were messing around with. So for me,
he is not smart about covering his tracks.
But for me, that's why it was an issue. That was an
issue.
Good
thing he wasn't.
Yeah,
that was like. People that aren't in the industry do treat it way differently than we do. I get that.
Yeah. So he would do, and it was like, have you ever seen somebody post memes and look and feel like you look at them differently because that's a little bit of what they're thinking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of it was very.
Well, I hope not, because I post some fucked up shit just for jokes.
No, your shit's funny.
Just for jokes, though. Yeah, so talk about being a massive whore and all this stuff.
No. That's like, a lot of it for me was talking about other women and like, bitches ain't shit and they look like this and girl sucking dick and all this stuff. And I'm going like this and I'm going, oh, I'm so glad nobody knows I'm dating you.
Oh.
Because I became very embarrassed.
You start internalizing that.
And then I'm taking it personally. Yeah. And then he's like, no, it's not about you. But then you do certain things and you post things for
me. It's about women, though. And I am women.
And I am women. And I love your mom. So there was a lot of conflicting things social media wise. Yeah. But leaving that relationship, and it wasn't on the best terms and still in a very in a weird space because we shared a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. So I also realized I had to back away because that's who that person wants to be. And really at the end of the day, like you said, should I care as much about what they're doing online? If that's what you want to do, I can make it my own issue to step away from it. I can be like, hey, I don't like this. I don't want to deal with this.
Well, if there was some patterns and he was actually messing, well, I mean, then that's very valid.
Man, I put two... Woo, bitch, I may not be the best at math, but 2 + 2 = 4.
Yes, it does.
And it kept equaling 4. Oh. And I was like, why don't you how about you subtract a couple things? Yeah. And then he would, and then it would, it was very repetitive. But, stepping out of the relationship and stepping back from it, I realized what I don't like. Mm-hmm. And for me, I don't think I could be with somebody that is very... that outspoken on social media but doesn't want to own it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he was just trying to do it for to look
the
cool.
Attention. Yeah.
That's too bad.
Which is, it's different. But everybody has their own struggles, right? Like his identity crisis is his identity crisis.
True, yeah.
And that's not...
But that's just a mismatch in where you guys are.
Right. Different. Life. We're in different places. That's what I learned in this time, the separation and over the past year and getting older. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't have to keep trying to make something work if that's who you are as a person. I should be able to respect that. And either if I can respect it, we work on my issues and then we grow together, or we have to walk away. Why are we going to... We ain't getting any younger.
You can't force people to change.
We can't force. Yeah. Like, I love them. Don't get me wrong. And it's like one of my best friends. But it takes me back to someone I don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
True.
You hit a certain point. You can't keep doing that shit.
If someone's bringing out the worst in you, it's a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
For sure.
Have you been dating since that, or have you been keeping it to yourself?
I'm pretty much to myself. I'm like, I got into a lot of arguments over wanting to be secluded and isolated and not really wanting to explore other relationships with people. I kind of got called out, like, why don't you want to spend time? And
why?
And
who said that?
Someone that was interested in talking to me.
Oh, that's someone, why.
Yeah, somebody that was interested. But I was I'm a hot ass mess. I got too much stuff going on. Like,
good
I
for you for recognizing that and being like, I want to work on myself. That's great.
I was going through do I want a family? Do I want to work? Do I even like my job? Oh my God, do I want to wake up every morning and do this? Am I happy with what I look like? Do I want to live here? Do I want to live there? There's too many questions that I had to answer myself.
And I wish more people knew that if you don't have a lot of those questions answered, you shouldn't entangle your life with a whole other person's life.
Yeah.
Unless you want to be in that person's life and that be your life. I feel like that's what a lot of people
do. I don't know if that's healthy, though.
It's not. Oh, yeah. We're not saying it's healthy. Yeah, I like to drink a lot of alcohol. We know it's not healthy, but I'm still going to do it because I like being fucked up. Yeah. But no, you're completely right. And it shouldn't be a problem to step away.
Because if you don't know yourself, then you don't know where to put boundaries.
Facts.
That's so true.
And then you keep fighting and you keep running into these assholes, which I think a lot of people call other, women or men assholes, but in reality you're just an asshole.
Yeah.
And you don't want to recognize that person, Like, you saw it, you were able to deal with parts of it, but you
ignored parts of it. Yeah.
And we all again, I think alcohol is such a great analogy for it, is because we like, we enjoy it to a certain extent, but then what are we going to be mad at the alcohol for getting you a hangover? Like, right. You know exactly what you're doing every time you sip it.
Yeah, you
water can be right there.
When you know your limits, you know, like, oh, I got to stop at 2. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to have a hangover or whatever.
Right.
But that really
comes from experience, too, though.
Yeah, like, it comes from experience.
It does. That point where you can, I can only see a fuckboy twice. After that, my feelings get hurt. Mm-hmm. It's cut off.
Then it's like, okay, now I know why I'm here. Yeah. Then you can be a little bit more honest about, like, we know why we're here.
What am I really doing?
Because sometimes you can just go, just, this is what it is. Like, you know, like, if we just like to do it, we like to do it. If we actually like to hang out, we like to hang out. And if I decide to fall in love with you, then that's my fault because you already told me what it was.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I have fallen in love with, though, recently?
Third love.
Quick ad break.
I got it.
You got it.
Yeah,
girl.
My titties.
Sorry.
My titties are
the reason why I thought I had it is because I'm wearing it.
Me too.
I'm wearing mine.
I need one.
It's awesome, bro.
It's actually the most comfortable bra I've ever owned. And I feel like people, we've said this out a million times, so I guess people know by now, but in case you didn't know, like, I didn't know I didn't have a bra that didn't fit me.
Yeah. Most women don't.
Yeah. Because you go to, you know, I'm not going to say the name of the brands, but there's like big brands that we all used to go to, and they don't really have a custom fit. They're just kind of like a generic one size fits all. So have you ever had like the gap between?
That was my problem.
Oh. I hate that. Me Definitely. Too. And then also after a while, my straps would fall off and it was just a mess. But I thought, oh, that's just how bras are. But they don't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. With Third Love, you can find the exact fitting bra for you. And they have so many different sizes. So you go online and you take a quiz. It takes you like 60 seconds.
Sexy seconds.
And
we're back.
And then it helps you identify your breast size and shape. There's so many different shapes. I didn't know boobies could go so many different ways. And then you find styles that fit your body. So they have a perfect fit promise. If you don't love it, every customer has 60 days to return it. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. And then Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your actual perfect fit. And fit stylists are available to help via chat or email. And I like that the returns actually go, if they have gently used bras, they'll go to women in need. Which is awesome. They're donated. And then your bra should have comfort and quality with signature details like the memory foam cups, no slip straps, scratch-free band. You know, it's just going to make sure it fits your boobies. Mm-hmm. So Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. Right now, they're offering our listeners 10% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/bigmood now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 10% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/bigmood for 10% off today.
Woo. Yes, crooked titties and an unfitting bra are unacceptable. You know what else is unacceptable? Crooked ass teeth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Our friends at Candid can help your crooked ass teeth get fixed in a very short amount of time, usually less than a year.
And all from home, too.
All from home, yes. You don't have to go, you don't have to worry about being in a dentist every week or every month, or I have perfect teeth naturally, so I don't know what you guys went through
show
to fix your teeth.
You could have teeth that look like that.
Yes.
There
you
go.
Candid clear aligners are comfortable, removable, and totally invisible, unlike those ugly ass wire braces, so you can transform your smile without anyone noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. With Candid, your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan, so you'll never have to wonder how you're doing, and you'll always know. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months. You'll start seeing results way before then, and it costs an average of less than 50% than the major competitor Invisalign. Start straightening your teeth today. Right now, all of our listeners can save $75 on Candid Starter Kit. Go to candidco.com/mood and use code MOOD. That's candidco.com/mood and use code MOOD to take advantage of this limited time offer to save $75 on your starter kit. candidco.com/mood, code MOOD.
Mood, mood.
Y'all are good at that.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Real professionals.
We just do the same. We've had the same sponsors for a while.
And we do like our sponsors.
Yeah,
so we kind of like.
We do.
It just comes out naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like.
We don't have any like weird sponsors, you know, like some off the wall shit.
Oh, I've done like car speakers. But I've had to cut commercials before. The one thing I hate doing, especially because we were talking about radio, I hate cutting commercials because it never feels like I'm genuinely talking about something because I haven't even seen the product yet for some. Like in some cases, you know. Yeah. Most of these, you guys are actually wearing the products. You're familiar with it.
We get like samples at least of everything.
Yeah.
We
get to try it. Yeah. I was like, y'all did that real smooth. Like, you're wearing it or you've done this before. I was like, wow, that's nice.
See, I think that's so smart. Like, all advertisers should do that because when they can, we can tell that when someone's genuinely talking about something.
Totally.
And like, I'm like, if you're talking about a car speaker and you're telling me like, and I've never even had the treble is 10% more. Yeah.
There's nothing worse than reading an ad that somebody else wrote thinking you talk that way. And then you're like, I've never said, yo, this is the most
check out
lit.
These Harman Kardon speakers.
No, that's not happening.
Yeah. And then you're doing this live too, right?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I was live Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. And yeah, that is live. Like,
is there any like difference of time where they can edit anything? Oh my God.
Zero.
There's been so many times where we've been talking and I've been like, Can we just do that again? Like, I can't imagine not having that.
Yeah. True.
You get used to it. I don't know. I felt like I have two different people, right? So when I go on, I know I see it and boom, it's there. And then I do another show on the weekends called The Basement. Mm-hmm. And that's, we have a lot of, it's a syndicated show. It's a Saturday night hip hop mix show. Mm-hmm. So we cut that before. Like, we're not in the studio cutting that live, which I wish we did because that would just be so lit.
Yeah.
Because my co-host is really bomb, DJ E-Rock. But When we do that, we have certain things we have to hit. We have certain points we got to cover. So it's like, okay, we record it. Then they have to send it off to get edited. And then the editor has to send it off to get approved. So that's a whole other process. Wow. A little bit more like this.
On the live show, have you ever fucked up or like?
I've said fuck before. Oh, man. There's... My co-host has been in the game for like 20-something years. And everybody runs into those moments. And for the most part, the biggest thing that you learn about going live is not cussing.
That's so hard.
I could never.
Not cussing.
It's so hard.
Being able to take your moment to process what you're going to say. Avoid as much as possible.
That is the hardest part where I'm like, what are your tips to speak more articulately?
Yeah, none of us are like amazing at any of that. We cuss a lot. There's a lot of ums.
Oh, I cuss a lot. All the time, but it's a different person, you know.
You just put on your hat, like your radio hat, and you just don't fuck it up.
I feel like that's what it. Certain topics would get me hot. That's the like the triggers, and my co-host would purposely do things to, you know, incite a fight with me because it makes for good radio. And I will call you out. At one point we were yelling at each other, but it's all in good spirit because we know when we're off the mic, I know exactly what he was doing. But one time I was like, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm gonna get like, you know, I was like, and we just pray that you don't get recorded doing it.
Yeah,
that's it. That's it. And when in doubt, say the person's name that you're talking to instead of
Oh,
that's a good idea.
Okay,
I feel like. So I've never consciously tried to stop cussing because I'm just like, whatever.
You guys don't have to.
Yeah, I don't have to.
It's not necessary.
But I have tried to constantly.
Because with the child, you have to.
Oh, true. So I tried giving up for Lent once, and that was the only Lent fail I've ever had.
Wasn't the hot Cheetos that you said back in the day? It feels like everybody's Lent give up was hot Cheetos.
Oh,
in high school.
It was soda for me.
Soda or hot Cheetos.
Or candy.
Yeah.
Chocolate. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But I couldn't do that one. But I have consciously tried to stop saying and I notice it comes up at a higher frequency when I care a lot about trying to get the exact information across. Yeah. Like when I really prep and like have all these notes and I want it to go perfectly, I'm like, wait, so she was born. No, she was born in this state.
I feel like are okay occasionally because you're having a conversation. We're not doing a proper interview right now. So it's like you flow a lot more freely.
Yeah.
For me, I struggle flowing in an entire sentence. I end up stopping myself a lot and I don't know why I do it.
It's all the drugs from your teenage years.
Probably. I think I do have like some synapse.
Some misconnections in the brain a little bit.
For some reason, when the mic is on, I'm a little bit more there. When it's not on, I'm like, I forget everything. I'm super forgetful.
How was your first day on live radio? I want to know what that experience.
My co-host, doing the morning show was different than doing the midday. So I did the traditional route. You do overnights. Weekends, overnights, middays, morning. And I did middays and morning at the same time. And each spot has a different approach to it. So morning, you're talking to normally most of the people that are taking, oh, it's okay, you want to play footsies? No. You can just tell me. I'll take my heels off for you. So everything is a little bit different. Middays, I'm talking about the song. Oh, yo, the next song coming up is da-da-da-da-da by so-and-so. Tune in. We got the gossip at, you know, whatever is going on during the time. The mornings is more of a podcast format, kind of free speaking. And you have to keep in mind your target audience. The first day I did it, I had no real morning show experience, and mm-hmm. I was filling in the woman before me retired, and she had been in that seat for 18 years.
Oh, that's rough.
Wow.
They hated me.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Oh, I don't think
it would have mattered.
Me.
They don't like change.
Yeah, so no real radio experience. I was 6 months into radio. I had only been doing radio for 6 months and I got a morning show seat.
That's awesome. Whoa.
Like, yeah. How was even that first 6 months though? Like, what was that experience?
Very different. I was like, this is cool. I didn't know how I felt about it. It was back where my family was. I thought it was dope.
Was it live as well?
Most of it was pre-recorded.
Okay.
And then
so
when
you had time to get into the flow of the rhythm.
And then when I started doing the middays, you have to run a board at the same time. And let me tell you, I was not good at it. Yeah. No, definitely.
That's too much for me.
There's a lot going on. So you see the jocks in there, they're doing all these mics and things have to run and shit misfires all the time.
So you're doing that as you're entertaining people?
Yeah. So middays, I wasn't there for long, and I don't think I was the best at it, to be completely honest. It's not my style. I wasn't the midday person. So when I sat in the seat for the first time with my co-host, he didn't even prep me. I had no show prep. I had nothing. He's like, we're going to go on the mics.
Three to the wolves.
He was like, you're going to talk to me. And him and I had already been speaking for a while, so it was very easy. He made it very comfortable for me. So my first day, I just never looked back.
Well, I think if you have someone that's really professional, it's almost like no matter who you are, they'll make sure you look good still.
Yeah. He filled in on all my gaps. Everywhere I failed at, he was like, I got you.
Yeah. Like in improv, that's what they say. Mm-hmm. Like you're only as good as your weakest member. So everyone should be lifting each other and support.
He pulled our weight. And on the technical side, I've had to run the board by myself. And running the board on a morning show versus any other time slot is not easy. Most professional shows have producers. They have somebody that's running it so that you don't mess up. There's a lot of money on the line. You have advertisers, you know, there's a lot on the line. Oh, I got left in there by myself. And I cried because it was the one day everything went wrong. The power went out. I couldn't figure out any of the... I cried and I had to call my co-host.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It was the most terrifying experience I've ever had. And I was... working my first time, like as an adult, that was my first real job.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
As far as being in an office, having things. I go, show up at work and nothing. Decided to work that day and I cried in the studio.
But you know what? You went back and that's amazing because if I had cried and been under that much stress, I probably wouldn't have showed up the next day.
And I told him that he is not allowed to leave me and nobody left me in the studio by myself ever again. It was okay. Good. I was like, yo, my strong suit is not this. I can talk, but doing
Don't make me press the buttons.
And there's a lot of buttons.
Yeah, I know.
And there's a lot of stuff that you have no control over. You can press the button for it to go, and an engineer has to come in and be like, oh, no, that's not working.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a nightmare.
It was.
But it sounds like a great learning experience, and look how much stronger you came out of it.
I still don't know how to work the board. I should have learned, but I didn't.
It's like when you get assigned dishwashing duty, and so you break the dishes. You're like, "This isn't for me."
That's exactly
what I gotta wash the dishes. Sorry,
my boss at the time had to come in because I wasn't to be trusted in there by myself. They're like, "She can't be crying on air. She's like, we can't have her in there. The songs aren't running."
But you probably get way more listeners. Like some people, like, "Dude, this girl's having a breakdown." Yeah. 101.2.
The listeners in the morning, they got a kick. The ones that stuck around got a kick out of me being on there. And the ones that hated me,
I could just imagine like the radio cutting in and out of like you pressing buttons. And you're like, and it like cuts to like some car commercial. And then you like end it early. So it's like
a sound bite.
I have no idea. It was bad. I was off the air. I cried. I had to call my GM in. It was a shit show. I was a mess. I'm definitely not qualified to run the board. I'm okay. And I did exactly that. And he never left me in there by myself again. They're like, nah, she's no.
Well, that's good.
No. It was great. I never had
that was like the first experience. So it wasn't like, the first time went so smooth and now they trust me with too much responsibility.
No. They kept their expectations real low with me. I'll be completely honest. They were never blown away by anything.
How long were you there? In that position.
3 years. Well, 2.5 years. I just quit.
Ah, and what nice. Was there any reason that you wanted to quit?
there was a lot. But for me, remember the, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I in the right place in life? Right. Where do I want to be? We have a pandemic. We had family. We have finances. There was just so many factors that came into play that either you step up and do what you want to do now or you sit in a position that you regret. And I had to take advantage of the opportunity and the time that was given to me. I loved it there. It was great. They were amazing. I definitely didn't want to leave, but it was the best decision for me in this time because I would probably be sitting 10 years from now in somewhere I don't want to be if I wouldn't have walked away.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah. I'm all about listening to your gut on that. Mm-hmm. And your instinct. Mm-hmm. So many people don't. Like, you know, you talk yourself into, oh, logically, like, I have a secure position here. Maybe my gut's telling me this isn't for you, but like, but like it makes so much sense or whatever.
A paycheck or any residual income is one of the biggest creative killers. Like creative, you know, what is the word creativity? I was like creative. Y'all were complimenting me like 2 seconds ago. And now I can't even say
creativism.
I didn't even notice creativity. Until you said that. I was like, oh, she was struggling.
I just tend to make
killer.
Yeah. I tend to make eye contact to distract people when I'm fucking up. So if I just look at you deeply, that's what's going on. The word's not coming out of my head. But the consistent money was making me go, I'm too safe. Can I do this? And that was really the biggest problem I was having. I was like, I can live a completely different life right now. I can settle down. Mm-hmm. I can look towards having a child. Because for me, I wanted to take off a year of work. If I could, take off a year of work, do that, be in the home, have my family, be as close as possible, probably stay in the Valley, not move to the Bay Area, not move to LA. And I could do that in the job I was in. I could live that life, but did I want that life? Will I regret not pursuing it while I still have the chance? So I had to make a decision, and I wasn't creative. I felt completely blocked in everything else I was doing. Nothing else felt fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even the money. It was just like, okay, I can pay my rent, but what am I doing? I'm not happy.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. I was not happy and not creative at all. There was no hustle.
Yeah, when you're a creative person and you don't have that joy filling your cup every day, like you really feel it more than people that are just like, hey, I'm just here to work and get a paycheck and stuff. When you're creative, you're just like, I am going to die.
It hurts your soul. Yeah, where other people don't really feel that.
They're right. Like, other people are like, I just want to, you know, work and go home.
A little, I envy those people a little bit.
Right?
I do. I envy those people a little bit because they're sure of themselves. Mm-hmm. That's the goal, to be sure of yourself, to do what you want. To
feel
be,
secure right. in your decisions.
Yeah. So for those people that are going to work and they're very happy with what they do and they get their paycheck every month and they live the life that they want to live, there's nothing wrong with
that. I'm not coming down on those people at all.
I hate when people shit on them and they were like, you don't want to be an entrepreneur? No, bitch, that's hard.
Yeah. That literally is not possible for everyone to be
right.
that.
Yeah.
Even just logically, like entrepreneurs need workers. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, exactly.
You can't shame the people that need to fill those positions.
But a lot of people would hear what you're saying right now and be like, whoa, you gave up that, like, you could make money, you're talking, like you're doing something cool, but and you would have been secure and you gave it up because you weren't feeling creative. I was just trying to defend creatives.
But also in making that decision, I put 6 months worth of rent on the side, able to pay all my bills,
invested my money.
Yeah,
this wasn't a, oh my God, I'm miserable, I need to quit my job. It was like, no, credit score is correct. Dental is all taken care of. I went to the doctor. I
was like, smart.
Cause a bitch ain't gonna have health insurance next month. So let's get all these things checked off. My rent, I've always lived and my parents gave me a lot of financial insight. My grandma put me up on game and they're like, you can do whatever you want as long as you have 6 months worth of rent.
That's right.
Yep. You can do anything you want. Anything at all. You can go anywhere. If you have 6 months worth of money, your life can completely change.
You have plenty of time to actually transform or switch over to whatever career. 6 months is a good amount of time to like get your feet wet into something and I think that's great.
Yeah.
We just had a finance episode and the last question was how much do you have an emergency fund? And it was 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6 months. I got it. I put that to the side. I worked on my credit. That was one of the things that I was doing. Mm-hmm. I made sure I had solid credit because, you know, cash only gets you so far.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when you don't have money coming in, you got to have good credit. You guys had a financial
episode.
That's
right.
Yeah, you know what's up. Like if you don't have a job, you don't have credibility. And if you don't have good credit, then they're looking at you like, what do you got?
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you gotta have collateral to put on the table.
Right. So I had all my ducks in order and all in a row. And then I was like, okay, cool. I gave my month. I did my time. I tried to go out as gracefully as possible and to make sure that it was cool.
What's next for Nikki Blades? Like, what does like fill your cup? Are you still kind of like, I'm gonna figure this out?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm here. This helps actually a lot. Yeah, this helps a lot. I've been wanting to come here. The
so
podcasting.
So welcome the newest member of Big Mood.
Yay!
I tried.
We're missing a few members anyway. If you
I feel like I've integrated myself into JK too. I'm like, how do I get into all of these things? I want to be on everything.
We're trying to get her to move here, okay, guys?
Yeah.
No, I'm just working on it. When I came on JK News, mm-hmm. and we had talked about Big Mood.
Yeah.
I was like, can I come on? I really want to.
Yeah,
because
I was like, because I ended up inviting her, and then she ends up going like, really, you want me? I'm like, are you
dumb?
Dude,
we like, absolutely, we want people on. Like, I don't think it's, I think we felt the same way. Like, will she come on?
Yeah.
Like, does she want to come on?
I know, when she was like, are you sure? I'm like, wait, are you sure? Like,
do you want me as much as I want you?
Right? Like, can we hang out?
Perfect relationship.
Yeah, I just want to hang out with you guys. This is like one of the perfect transitions into what I want to do is hanging out with you guys.
Hang out and eat some food, perhaps?
I love, actually, Nikki Street Eats is really the passion project that we've been talking about. So it's all connected. And you're going to tell me about how I can get some food?
Yeah, I mean, what maybe Street Eats can go on to a delivery service. Ooh. Perhaps currently DoorDash.
Ooh.
Will bring your food right to your door. It's just like in the name. And if you want to eat from any restaurant, you're feeling, we were talking about seafood
sushi,
earlier,
Korean, Indian,
there's Japanese. Over I think 300,000 restaurants. Is it on here? It's not on here anymore. I know it by heart. It's 300,000 restaurants.
Or more.
More now. Maybe they added more. A lot of them are still open during the pandemic, so it's a great way to support your local restaurants if you don't want them to go out of business because they're losing a lot of that like walk-in clientele. You're like, hey, deliver it to my door. Ordering is easy. You just open up the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. You can support all the faves. Chipotle, Wendy's.
We need Gina.
Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BIGMOOD. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app on the App Store and enter the code BIGMOOD. Don't forget, that's code BIGMOOD for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
And while you're waiting for your food to arrive, you can be playing my favorite mobile game, puzzle
Best
game.
Fiends.
That's right. Best Fiends. I'm sure you guys are annoyed of me talking about it all the time because I genuinely love this game. Like, insanely. I've been playing it for many years. Honestly, I love this game because it is a puzzle game. And also, the fact that you can play this without Wi-Fi or any type of service is my most favorite thing about it, because sometimes I live like in my new house, there's these weird like dead zones where sometimes I don't get any service and I'm just like, what do I do? I'm
gonna want to kill all your data. Right.
Exactly.
How am I supposed to play this on the toilet when there's no Wi-Fi yet?
Exactly. But you can with Best Fiends, because you don't need no Wi-Fi. Best Fiends is the binge-worthy mobile puzzle game with over 100 million downloads. Are you good?
Yeah.
With over 100 million downloads and counting, it's free to download and it has literally millions of 5-star reviews on the Apple App Store and Google Play. More levels, events, and challenges are added all the time. So even with seasons, like they keep up with the season, so they give you new challenges. The way that you get to play this, though, is you collect these little fiends, and each fiend has like a special power, and then you're using these powers. Like, you have to be strategic in how you use them so you can defeat the slugs, and that's what you're trying to do, defeat
stupid
those slugs, and then advance in the levels. And honestly, like, the graphics on this game is like really breathtaking graphics. I've never seen an app game that actually has graphics
that
they
all look
this
shitty
nice.
Usually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And that just adds to the fun, at least for me. I'm an aesthetic kind of person.
Aesthetic queen.
So seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom won't stand a chance. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Yes. I love games.
Wait, so what's Nikki Street Eats?
Oh, you never, that's pretty much why Tim and I are friends.
Oh, shit.
Because we like to eat. So, oh. So Nikki Street Eats, I started, I want to say about 5 or 6 years ago, right after I did Maxim. So I did Maxim Magazine. Did I tell you guys know that, right?
So no.
That's why I was like modeling something.
Yeah.
And Maxim is huge.
Right?
Maxim.
I was awesome. So they had the hometown hottie competition.
Yeah.
Remember that mm-hmm. where they named the top 10 hottest girls in America?
I think, yeah.
I was one of them.
Tight.
Ooh. Yeah.
So if you haven't been watching this on YouTube, you've just been listening on
yeah,
YouTube.
You need better go check YouTube. Out this.
You need to come check out the YouTube channel.
So it was named... one of the top 10 hottest girls in America, which was voted. And
that's
this
so cool.
is, thank you.
Yay.
I got a title. You can't call me ugly. You can't call me ugly.
She was voted.
There's papers to prove
the title,
it.
We don't need to prove
it. Was a democracy and she was voted.
I was voted. But it was cool because during that time, Maxim was highlighting Instagram. And that's kind of how I got into the influencer mm-hmm. world. And it was a lot to do with personality. Mm-hmm. From there, one of the main things that I did, my intro video, I like slid in on a countertop in like Superman underwear and
what?
I was eating cereal and watching cartoons in my submission video.
Nice.
From there, I was obsessed with the Carl's Jr. commercials.
Mm.
And you
oh,
know how
yeah, they had great commercials.
The really sexy yeah. commercials. And for me, I've always been a big eater. I love food. I grub. I throw down. Like, you could leave me by myself. I don't care. I'm eating everything. Like, first date, we're not getting salad, boo. You better yeah. bring your wallet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because we are eating everything.
It's my type of woman.
So I never understood why there wasn't anybody that looked like me in those commercials. Mm-hmm. I never understood why there wasn't anybody that looked like me in entertainment and in general, and especially in the food lane. And it was wide open. This was before Chrissy Teigen really stepped in and took over. So at that time, I wanted to do this thing called Nikki Street Eats. And I was showcasing the food trucks because this is when the food truck industry was really booming. So I did little short videos. I did a calendar. I did all of those things. And then I got...
And then Tim stole your idea?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was like, no.
Oh,
Tim and I connected because I love... Like, that's really what was getting me into any type of work was the fact that I had Nikki Street Eats and I did those things. And I just wanted to show that there were more women eat than don't eat.
Yeah.
And during that time, it wasn't something everybody spoke about so freely like we do now. And it's weird to even say that, oh my God, like, I don't eat. Or I'm not like that.
Times have changed. Relate,
times have changed a lot.
Especially with the mukbang
genre
that got really big.
Yeah.
And those are all fucking hot girls eating amounts of food.
I got so shamed. I was always by the snack table.
Yeah. Always. I got called the garbage can. Because I would eat everything and
go
I worked out.
Yeah.
I loved it. So
oh, I didn't work out. So,
that was my life. That's all I did. So we had talked about wanting to be a food critic. It was a model food critic. So like the two go hand in hand with me. I can't just eat.
I mean, who contradict each other really? Because like,
as far you're supposed to be skinny. Yeah.
Right. As far as industry standards. So I got into Nikki Street Eats. I had a team. And then throughout time, that's been one of the projects that seems to be very enticing for everybody. But the follow through is not quite been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to put out whack shit when it comes to that. And that's been my baby for a long time. So Nikki Street Eats is just my passion project on the side.
So where do you find that?
Posting. Oh, it's on Instagram right now at Nikki Street Eats. And I've been doing that and referencing it as much as possible.
Girl,
and
I did not know that. I'm going to
start following
you.
I got a whole food page.
What?
But it's, that's something that I step away from time to time because, you know, building the team, as you guys know, because you guys have this whole production, is not easy to do.
Yeah. And especially over years.
I'm not the person that can edit myself. I'm not very good at looking at my own videos and editing them. I will not do it. I don't like watching myself. I don't listen to any of my own work. I don't watch any of my own work except photo shoots because I know that world. Yeah. But besides that, I really don't touch anything else. And I haven't found the proper team to make that happen yet. And every time I get close, something happens. My the guy that was going to do all my editing, we worked together. He got picked up by a huge company. So he got taken away.
The good ones get taken.
Oh, my God. So every time there's been something, it got stopped. And so I know it's about timing. And timing is everything. And I go back to it as much as possible. But... eventually I would like to have all of that taken
That's
care
tight.
Of.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what if you just got a contract like with a network or something to have something completely different?
I've had We've done that before. We've tried. A lot of it is frustrating. Again, timing is everything. You know this industry. You know this industry. Mm-hmm. Timing is everything. People can love your idea. You can have full shows written out. I have 7 shows of my own put to the side, mm-hmm. ready for when the right people come along. Mm-hmm. But
I feel like a lot of guys keep getting shows, or like the most random celebrity will get a show, and I'm like, why did she get a show?
It's really, there's a bunch of people that we don't see running stuff, but yeah. that's why you guys do this, and that's why we have yeah. other opportunities mm-hmm. with social media. So for me, it's just finding the right time, and with the opportunities, again, the last 3 years has been spent working for somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling very stifled. Like, I was stuck. There was no food where I was. There was, you can only eat at the same 6 places. I live next to cows. Like, legit, I'm staring at cows when I leave my house. The options are few and far between, but when I worked in the city.
So now I'm going to convince you to move to Vegas with
me. There we go.
My family, I have family in Vegas, and they want
to come to Vegas.
How do you feel about that whole mass exodus out of California?
Hawaii, left Hawaii a long time ago and all moved to Vegas. So that's Vegas true. Is the 9th island. All of the locals, all the locals are over there. How's it, auntie, uncle, cousins, everybody that is continuing to tell me to come and see them.
Are you Hawaiian?
I am.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. I did hula and Tahitian dancing for 12 years. Yeah.
I'm Hawaiian, Chinese, Filipino.
That's amazing. I'm Filipino and white, but
yeah. We talked about that before we got really drunk on our episode.
I feel like I must have the drunkenness must have taken away the I did not catch that you were Hawaiian. That's so cool.
Yeah, I don't speak in my accent, but if you see my mom and dad, I post them on my Instagram, you're like, oh wow,
nice.
That is your dad, right?
What island?
Oahu.
Oh, nice.
But then I grew up in the Central Valley next to some cows, for real. Like 2 stoplights, cows, all of it. That's
where
I grew up.
Do you ever miss it? Or like, because you used to go visit before this pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever feel like you wanted to live there?
Big part of me. I would go back at like 3 months at a time. But if you want more than the island life, you get pretty stuck. Mm. So I can only do a certain amount of time and then I have to leave.
There's
I
so love many it, though. Islanders in the in Northern California.
Yeah.
I was blown away because I went to a Tahitian festival there once and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, there's a lot of amazing halaus in
San Jose.
Everybody, Hawaii, if you're familiar, a lot of people don't know there's a huge, homeless problem. Drugs mm-hmm. are a big issue, domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Then you have just the cost of living is extremely high. Yeah. Education is not normally priority. So there's a lot of systems there's a lot of things that are broken out there. And our family wanted to take me off of the rock, raise me where they can monitor me and make sure that I had the best opportunities possible, because I know a lot of my family isn't in the best positions, and it is the lifestyle that you live out there. It's completely different. I would be a different person if I still lived in Hawaii.
For sure.
But I love it. Like, I love my family. I love that life that they live. I want to go back occasionally, but to live there and work, like, I don't know what I would do.
Right.
Like, I don't know
work-wise. Like, when I'm there, I'm just like, this is just for relaxing. There's no like, you got to get up and go and do something with yourself there. It's just a relaxed
A lot
vibe.
Of beach towns are like that, too.
Yeah. A lot of my friends are in the nightlife industry. So that's dope. They get, hospitality and all that. Mm-hmm. They get their money. But it's a dope, dope lifestyle. You wake up, you're eating what you want. You're going where you want. You go to the beach. You can hike. Mm-hmm. Everybody's mentality is a little bit different. First off, and the designer clothes and shit out there, because the taxes are different. Yeah. A lot of people shop out there. It's amazing, but if you have other goals and ambitions, you mm-hmm. have to split your time regardless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can be successful. There's a lot of educated people. There's a lot to grow. But you can't do all of that there. You have to leave at some point. Mm-hmm. And I am not ready to settle down in Hawaii because I will end up pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting pregnant.
Okay, Las Vegas.
You know what I mean? Las Vegas.
You can do all the eats.
She's trying to convince everyone to move to Vegas.
Yeah, we've been trying for like a year or 2 years, but now it's seeming like more people
she's
are jumping on board.
Yeah,
Mike, you too.
I'm supposed to go. Actually, one of my best friends lives in Vegas.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, she's been trying to convince me too. She's like, your rent is ridiculous. I'm mm-hmm. like, I know,
especially in NorCal.
What about you guys? Are you gonna leave?
Not me.
Oh, I'm not leaving. I'm stuck here for
you. A Cali girl
for probably for life, but at least a solid 5 years. Because my son is mm-hmm. in a new school now. I don't want to move him again.
That's very nice, because I know some parents don't give a shit, and they just be...
Yeah, that was my parents. They didn't give a shit. We just moved constantly. I wanted to live in California. I was so happy when I got to live here.
Where are you?
I'm from Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, I'm a Texas girl. But I see the problems. I see the homeless issue. I see the taxes and the government of the state of California's shit. Like, I see all of it, but I still feel like I love it so much. Yeah. Like, there's something, I'm not even from here, but I feel like I love this city so much. Like, even people, like, just driving through, people that don't look like me, it's not my neighborhood. I just feel so much love for California, and I don't know why or where that came from. And it just feels sad for me to think about leaving. Like, I don't want to.
I wanted to get better.
Yeah. I don't want to just abandon it.
You're not done with it yet.
Yeah. And I don't make enough money to where leaving will affect me tax-wise. Like, I'm not in a tax bracket that it would really affect me. So I'm like, well, I get why other people are leaving, but for me, there's not enough reason.
Not
I just
yet.
Fucking love, mm-hmm. I love LA. I love it.
Again, timing. Yeah. Because I feel like 2 years ago, we were thinking about it. We weren't quite ready, but now, like, I think it's on that time,
especially
where, like,
if y'all's crypto hits.
we were talking about that last time I saw him. I was like, okay, so I have one solid coin. What else are we doing?
I know, like, one coin.
Yeah, I was like, I got one coin. One coin is expensive. What you mean?
That's true.
You have a whole coin.
I have a whole coin.
Good for you.
I have a coin plus a little sprinkle, and I diversify. Yeah, no.
When did you get it?
I got it when it was at 7,000, which was really it's low, but that's still high.
Mm-hmm.
Low,
but you're still up, I think, right?
Yeah, technically, yeah. We're on a 60-day run right now, being over 10,000. I'm one of those that wakes up, checks their coin, checks the news.
Just gotta wait. Nice. Wait.
Just gotta
wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was. We've talked about, because Joe was. Didn't he lose hella money in crypto?
honestly, like, that was a very contentious argument that we had in our relationship, so we probably shouldn't get into it. But he sunk so much money into it, and I watched him, and, like, I get that it's probably great investment. Like, if you know the right ones, like, long-term. Someone like Steve has done so much research where he knows where to put it, when to buy, and all that stuff. But, like, we would fight so much over that. I was just like, you put so much goddamn, and not even diversifying, just dumped it all. I was just like, all right. Cool.
I know, because when we brought it up, somebody said crypto, and I had both of them in the room at the same time, and you just see one go, and you see Steve, and then he looks at me, and I'm like, I know I'm still with you. I was like, I guess we're not going to talk about this sensitive subject, but I was like, I got one. He's like, keep it. I said, good. That's what I'm doing.
You're like talking over Joe. Whispering.
We're whispering.
Like, Joe's like, I bought the wrong one.
Yeah.
He's angry. Where I'm like, are we good? It's a lunch break. And then the whole joke with Joe. I mean, have you the whole joke with Joe?
Yeah, I've seen it, and I'm like, okay, it's funny. Whatever, I don't know.
Everybody else has decided. They took it and ran with it.
Wait, you got to explain for the people that don't know.
Okay, for the people that don't know, they have tried to put Joe and I in a relationship because I think that he is having.
Because they're both single people.
Right,
and they're
right.
That's what our fan base does, like our audience. Yeah. They like, if there's two single people,
right,
they're gonna be together. So, like, all the single males that we've had on our show, it's like, oh, I definitely want to fuck them for sure. And I'm just like, okay, this is funny for entertainment, we'll go with it.
And the whole thing on No Chaser is that I'm not looking, and I make that very clear. I'm not interested. I'm not looking. It's not you. it's me. I don't want it. You could be the most amazing person, not now. Like, yo, stop trying.
Yeah.
So when we were having a conversation about it, like you said, they just ship whoever's there. Yeah. Like, I apparently have been in multiple relationships with every guest that we've had on the show.
Dude, even within the married people. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're God. Like, Tiffany wants to have sex with Bart.
Yeah. Steve is having sex with someone. That I want to fuck Bart so badly.
So,
or like cartoon character, or we're just like, you know, characters in a movie.
So everybody's like moving their little pieces however they want. So the joke is that him and I really would never, the dream would be to live in a duplex. Like, you have one side, I have one side, and we just hang out. Like, we want nothing else to do with each other besides like, hey, I think your mushrooms are pretty cool. Do you want to go ride a bike today? Like, that's the extent of
it's like being cousins.
Yeah. but everybody just runs with it. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll take this. Let's go. And I'm pretty sure I make him feel extremely uncomfortable.
I don't think that's possible for
Joe. He's very, haven't you noticed he's really quiet when I do my little stuff on the show? He doesn't talk much to me. He just kind of sits there. And he just sits there. So I'd be like, right? And he's like,
He doesn't know how to respond.
He doesn't know how to respond. He's probably thinking, like, I really don't want you, but I guess we're doing this right now.
No, I think doubt that. I think he just feels put on the spot. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. He's like, I don't know. He doesn't know how to banter. Like, he's never a middle person. He's either all or nothing. So, like, with his anger, all or none. With his romance, all or none. Like, so he doesn't know how to play, like, in the middle. So he's just like,
That's what makes it great, because yeah, since funny. Everybody else has shipped it, then yeah. I'm like, cool, I'm just going to really make you feel uncomfortable yeah. every time I'm on, and you've yeah. become my talking point. And when you're looking for things to talk about, you go back to what you know.
Right. Yeah, do you know that I'm the manager of the channel, so I review all of the videos.
So you see me yeah. hitting on so them all
I,
the time.
I have to watch all the videos before they come out, like just as a final production step yeah. or whatever. So I'm watching them and I'm laughing. And honestly, I'm just like.
Do you see his face? He's just like.
Okay, guys.
Yeah. Job, yeah.
He just.
Yeah.
He doesn't really say anything. Yeah. So I'm like, cool. Everybody else has ran with it. So I was like, give me the ball. I'm going for the touchdown. Because they'll get tired
it's
of it.
It's a funny like selling point to click on this video because Nikki's flirting with Joe. You know?
Like, and then you watch and you're like, I don't think he likes
yeah.
it. He just looks so uncomfortable. I'm like, see, you have to consent people. Just yeah. can't force yourself on everybody.
Can't force people together. Make them kiss.
Right?
I think you know, married people and fans that watch have the same thing in common where we're like, two single people, make them kiss.
I know. Like our last guest, yeah. that we had on, they were like,
Jassim.
Kiss. Yeah.
No, kiss.
Yeah. And they created a ship name and I'm like,
you're single?
Oh my God,
she's
you guys
single?
Had a name?
Tiff
yeah,
did.
I created it.
Tiff's acting like everyone else.
Yeah. Because it's fun.
How do you deal with it?
Cassica.
Oh God, I just get really uncomfortable, and I'm like, what do I do now? I don't know.
Similar.
I'm just like
thing
stop.
That
I'm just like
feeling.
Stop. No, don't.
Like, leave me yeah, alone, we'll stop. Please.
Especially like not necessarily Cassim, but like sometimes like they'll ship me with the most random person, or like I guess it makes sense, but then I'm like, y'all really don't know that I really don't even like that person. So it's awkward.
I think if you actually were to get together, we'd be like, whoa, that
yeah,
works.
You're like, wait a minute.
We were just like, kiss.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever had somebody on the show that you thought could possibly be someone you were interested in? And never
we
expressed
We've only had like
it?
Two yeah, it's male like, guests. It's like, we haven't had enough male, like single males.
On any of your shows?
Ah.
Oh, I've never been in the same room, but I have considered dating some people that have been on a show around Ooh. Us. Maybe not our show. Someone actually shipped it in the comments a long time ago, but I'm not going to say who it is.
Clues.
Did they ship it? Did you see it and secretly go?
I was like, yeah, but only one person thinks that.
And you're going, did you thumbs it up?
No.
Was it your comment?
Wait, maybe I did thumbs up. I can't remember. No, it wasn't my comment, but I was just like, it was really random too, because it wasn't connected. Like we weren't in a video together and no one said our names mm-hmm. together, but it's just the fact that like, in some way, we're connected through like,
now you guys
like
have
several
homework.
Degrees.
Yeah. Now you guys have homework.
Someone
go
connected
figure
us
it
through
out.
Several degrees and said, oh, they should.
That
date.
Sounds
and
fun.
I was like,
yeah. Having a crush on somebody sounds fun.
Oh, not a real crush, because I honestly don't even know him, but I was just like, oh, he's cute.
No, I mean, just like, we live vicariously married, yeah. and yeah. Fans married. Were just like, vicariously, like, we're not going to be in that crush phase ever again. So, like, just watching other people
right.
be in it is like,
that makes sense. I don't know if
fun.
I want to date an entertainer, though. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
I want to get into the crush phase again. I want to have a crush on somebody.
That's cute. I'm know? Still not even ready for that.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't say I was ready for it, nor should I.
You're just looking forward to the next time yeah. it happens.
Well, just let us know so we can watch.
It's always so yeah. disappointing though after, like, if it doesn't work out, it's so goddamn disappointing.
I'm gonna call you and be like, it didn't work out.
Well, speaking of calling
face.
Us, call us anytime.
Yeah,
this
girl.
Hour flew by.
Why did you come back?
Why did you do that? Like, it made it. I feel like I want to talk forever.
I know. We need like multiple exactly. episodes.
Find Nikki on all of her platforms. Go to Instagram. Go to Nikki Street Eats.
Check me on Twitch
Check
now.
On Twitch.
Ooh, yeah.
Twitch. Mornings. Wake up with Nikki.
Yeah. Waken Blades. Wake
oh, that's
blades.
Cute.
I try to throw blades in as much shit
I know,
as possible.
I love puns.
Coolest last name ever.
A woman with puns. I love it. And then also, of course, rate us 5 stars on iTunes. It helps us out a lot. And also, thumbs this video up so it helps with the algorithm if
comment.
You're watching on YouTube. And leave us a comment. Yeah. Let us know like what you've been up to, what you want to ask Nikki for the next time she comes
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
We're being presumptuous. And we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.